This is the White Rose March by John Philip Sousa.
His most well-known march.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you think of John Philip Sousa, you, of course, think of marches, but then you go right to the White Rose March. Nothing patriotic, nothing about the Boy Scouts, no Hooray to America, no Stars and Stripes, no, just this, the White Rose March.
I can't say I know that many of his marches. Is there a Boy Scouts march? You mentioned a Boy Scouts there.
Yes, there actually was one from 1917. I didn't want to play it yet, so there'll be another John Philip Sousa march that goes on this year.
Do people go out to, like, listen to John Philip Sousa, just, like just listen to the music?
Or I think so.
Or there have to be a march when you went to go see him, like, a performance?
Oh, I see. Yeah, like, would you sit and watch people marching? Because it's not really a march if you're not marching, right?
Yeah, like, you have to have marching. You have to march with the marching music.
Right. Maybe that's why they invented gazebos. Said you could be outside and the band could just, like revolve around the gazebo.
Mm-hmm. I love a good gazebo, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great, because it's like, you know it was created for some very nice, like, you know, moment, or just in a park, to be like, tranquil. Just completely overtaken by high-head teens at some point.
Yeah. There's a gazebo in our town, and I think I'm remembering this correctly. You can't actually get into it. It's a decorative gazebo, and, like the landing is 6 feet up, but there aren't any stairs, and the railing goes all around all the sides
of it. Dirt bags took it over.
Right. So you get all the aesthetic appeal of seeing a nice gazebo, and you don't go up there. No one can go up there.
See, I know that that's always been favored by, like, you know, pilot teens go hang on a gazebo.
Uh-huh.
As a young man, I did not like it.
Did you prefer the library steps?
No, because I always felt like when you're in the gazebo, you're kind of the sitting duck for the cops.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, there's nowhere to, like, duck behind, nowhere to run to. You're calling a lot of attention to yourself in this gazebo.
But maybe the gazebo is kind of like the paper bag that you carry a 40-ounce malt liquor in, where the police aren't dumb. They know, but it's the code. If you have the bag, you can do whatever you want.
If you're in a gazebo, you can...
Yeah, if you're in the gazebo, the police will look at you, but you're, like, you know, you're in sanctuary.
Yes, it's meant for, like, you know, like, stone teens and the mayor. Those are the two people that are allowed to use this gazebo.
Yeah, it's... Bunting is really an important issue. If there's bunting on the gazebo, then it's a civic day. Families, and old people, everything.
If you're a mayor going in that gazebo, you better have your fucking sash on. You better put that fucking mayor sash on. You understand?
Do mayors come with sashes?
I don't know, in old cartoons they did and movies, but...
I would wear a sash if I was giving a key to the city to a valued citizen. But then would the valued citizen have to wear a sash too?
Like a mayor sash and a citizen sash as well?
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I think in my town...
I think you're thinking of...
I've seen in the parades...
Okay.
In the parades, I'm pretty sure, like, the town commissioners have... Like, they don't say commissioner on it, but it'll be, like an Italian flag sash.
I think you are confusing reality with political cartoons, where people just have, like big flags identifying who they are.
And old bags of money have a dollar sign on them. Yeah.
Here's a man in a three-piece suit. His name is apparently Economy.
Yes. And
that's good to know.
This top hat says Plutocrat.
Ahoy, hoy, everyone, and welcome to the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan. With me, as always, is Vinny Nardiello.
How you doing, Jeff?
Good. So, this week, our big story is the M1917 rifle. I have dug a little bit deep into the history of this gun, because I don't know much about guns or weapons, and I'm going to try to do it right when we talk about this.
Have you ever fired a gun? Have you ever...
Until recently, I hadn't, but I was at a YMCA camp for a weekend. It was a birthday weekend for someone, and they rented out, like, part of the YMCA camp, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, it was, like, church groups.
These were, like adults at this...
Yeah, it was adults.
Yeah,
you brought your sleeping bag, you slept in a bunk bed. I brought my daughters. We had a really good time. And one of the many events you could do was a shooting range, where they had 22 rifles. Well, like, 22 size.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't actually... I didn't count to see how many rifles they actually had. But I guess there could be someone who was really obsessive-compulsive who decided we need to have 22 rifles.
Other 22s, yes.
Yeah, just so that if someone says, give me a 22 rifle, you can say, well, do you mean the number or the caliber? Because we have both, and they're both 22. But that's the only weapon I fired, a 22 rifle.
Me too, actually.
Real? Okay.
Yes, that's the only thing. I went to a shooting range.
Wait, you went to a shooting range where presumably you could pick from, like, anything.
Well, no, this was up at, like a state park.
Okay.
Whatever. Up in upstate New York. They had the, like, skeet shooting.
Oh, okay.
So, it wasn't, like, indoor. It was, like skeet shooting, trap shooting.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
I was really terrible.
I was okay, but I didn't know how much I moved. Yeah. Like, you can't just stay still and hold a gun because it keeps on moving around. You have all these little subtle microtransactions that your body is doing, and the gun doesn't like that.
Yeah, like if I got one for protecting my family,
mm-hmm.
and somebody broke into my house,
yeah,
my dog's dead. That's all I care. There's no way that'll ever hit anybody coming into the house. Like, they will reach me and take the gun off me. I even managed to like get anywhere near them.
I was shocked at how little the 22 cartridge is. I was about to say bullet, but all the things I was reading said cartridge instead of bullet. I don't know the difference between cartridge and bullet, but I'm going to say cartridge because it makes me sound smarter.
Yes.
And the cartridge was very, very small. It was like the size of a fuse, which I guess started the Mythbusters episode about if you could use a bullet as a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and then it exploded and went off and it hit someone's leg. And they were okay because it was just like a little bruise. Because the 22 was basically not a real gun.
No. No, it's there to like shoot like varmints. If you want to shoot a varmint in a 22.
But I think it's also used by like assassin types, if they shoot you in the back of the head, and the bullet is so weak, it just kind of like rattles around inside your head and scrambles up your brains.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I saw in Sopranos.
Okay.
I'm gonna take that as the truth.
Right, well, tell me about this rifle here.
Okay, so the M1917 rifle. It's called the 1917 because that was the year it was made.
Come on, that's not just a coincidence.
No, not just a coincidence. And the M is for model. It took me like 45 minutes before I figured out what the M stood for.
I never knew that. I never knew that the M in a gun was model.
Yeah, so M16, I guess, is model 16. And there were lots and lots of other M's, but I just never heard about them. Like, basically, pick a number and pick a letter, and someone has made a firearm with that combination.
Is there like a rifle for every year?
I think so, because there's a lot of rifle makers all around the world, and they're not that creative in naming them. So if you designed a rifle in 1927, it's probably going to be called the 1927.
And I'm assuming people who are like really into guns know. It's like being a wine connoisseur. Like, this
right.
is a good gun year.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the Latruque M1993, this is an excellent year.
It has a wonderful bouquet, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't shoot this yet. I'd wait another 2 years before I would shoot this. So, the Enfield M1917 rifle was made at the Springfield Armory. This is one thing I did know. The Springfield rifles were made in Springfield, Massachusetts. One of the biggest Springfields.
Is that one of the Springfields you went to?
Yes. Side note, I've been to just about every Springfield in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
It was what I did in my early 20s. I wanted to see the country.
Well, you were trying to write a book. That was the plan.
Yes, and
You weren't just like, like a weird, OCD. I have to see every Springfield, or like a Springfield fetishist.
No, but maybe the book was just a way of becoming a Springfield fetishist. But I mostly wanted to see the country without just going to the tourist sites, and I figured this was a good way around it.
Mm-hmm.
I would visit all the Springfields because there's four or five that you've heard of, and then all the rest are just small towns or tiny towns or things that don't even count as towns. They're just like places on a map that
yes.
nothing exists on yet. And Vinny, you and I went on a road trip. We visited some of the Springfields.
That's right. We did like the Midwest.
The Midwest swatch of them.
Yeah. And then, but even that down to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember they couldn't understand me in Arkansas? Like, I would speak to people in Arkansas, and they'd have no idea what the hell I was saying.
I remember we were driving through a town, and you said, stop the car, because there was a place that was selling pizza by the slice. And you go, I just have to know what it's like. And you got out, and you got a slice, and you came back in, and it's like, and we were like, what are you doing? The pizza in Arkansas is not going to be good.
I know, but I just wanted to see for myself what they were calling pizza there.
Yeah. And do you remember what you said?
No.
You said it was like a slice of Elio's.
All right. Well, that's actually probably being complimentary in the big scheme of things.
Right. Right. It tastes like frozen homemade pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Springfield, Massachusetts is where the Springfield Armory is. And in 1915 and 1916, they were making weapons for the British because the Brits were in World War One. We, in February of 1917, are still not in World War One. It, of course, it was not called World War One yet. It was called the Great War, but we're...
They probably didn't have a one in it either.
No.
Just in case.
So, they are making a modification to the Springfield 1903. Take a wild guess what year the 1903 weapon was first made.
I'm not going to play this game. I'm not going to try to come up with like a funny answer. Like, 1904? Yeah, all right, it was 1903. All right.
God, that would kill you and I. If I did one of those quizzes, that was just, what year did the 1919 weapon come out? And like, I'm just looking to you like, I've asked you the same question 18 times. You need to come up with 18 jokes. I'm not going to do that. So they modified the 1903, and a better gunsmith than I am, and I'm not any sort of gunsmith, would be able to know what the 1903 was and what the modifications were to make it a 1917 and how that was better. But I do know that it did shoot 30-06 rounds. And I had to look up because I decided to just know everything about this gun as well as I could, because I don't know anything about guns, to find out why it was called 30-06.
I think the only thing about the show is we're just basically broadcasting that. Come rob us. We have no protection in our homes. Look us up online. Because we the poorest households that we can't defend.
You could probably throw guns at us. We would catch them, and odds are we would shoot ourselves before we'd shoot you. We would try to shoot you. We would end up shooting ourselves. So, the weapon, the 30-06 is called 30-06. 30 is for the size, 30 millimeters wide, and 06 is the year it was first okayed. So, 30-06 has nothing to do with the aught 06 means that it was made in 1906.
The aughts did not catch on as a term for the 2000s, did they?
No. People just don't want to talk about that decade. It's just like, oh, I don't have a word to describe it. Let's just get into the teens.
We don't even really have like I can't even think of like what the stereotypical fashion is.
No, fashion kind of stopped. I mean, fashion of course it's still going, but like in the '70s, there's things you can think of as '70s, like afros and bell bottoms and fringe. And when you move into '80s, you think about other stuff.
Big hair and
leg warmers and shoulder pads. When you go to the '90s, you think of like waffle shirts and plaid and things like that.
Maybe remember like women had they'd show like the thong, right?
Yeah.
Like the low pants and you'd see the top of their thong.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only thing I could think of as being like the fashion of the time.
Right. But that's what I was saying, that fashion kind of stopped because it stopped becoming out of fashion. Everything is now constantly in fashion.
Well, no. Do you think maybe like you don't know about it when you're it's like look back on it and then you determine what the
that the could be it. Yeah.
Like we're not far enough removed yet.
Yeah, like the clothes we're wearing now, we both happen to be wearing burgundy. Your shirt could be worn in like 1991.
It probably was.
Yeah. It probably was your actual shirt. Yeah. I don't know how old this sweater is, but I did notice that I've rolled it up enough so that when I roll it down the sleeves has this sort of slinky
effect.
Same here.
Yeah, I get that going too.
Yeah, maybe that's just a sweater thing that no one talks about. We just are ashamed to admit it.
People can email us. Let us know what the fashion is of the 2000s. We don't know.
We're at 1970podcast@gmail.com. So, one of the reasons we ended up winning World War One was that we had guns. We were the like armory for the rest of the Allies. Did you ever see Enemy at the Gates?
Yeah. I think I did. The name of it sounds
it's a World War II movie.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Snipers, Jude Law plays Vasily Zaitsev. Yes. Yeah. So there's this horrendous scene, which apparently is not historically accurate, but a bunch of poor Russian soldiers are being brought into the Battle of Stalingrad, and there's a guy giving guns to every other guy. Mm-hmm. And he gives a gun to guy A, and he tells guy B, your job is to get shot.
And this didn't really happen.
No. They were just like all supposed to run out, and when the guy with the gun gets shot, the guy without the gun picks up the dead guy's gun because they knew that they only have 20 guns and they have 40 guys.
And they need to advance.
Yeah, no use wasting a gun on a person who's going to die. But we were able to avoid that by making lots of guns for the Brits and then lots of guns for ourselves before we got into the war. So the war is coming. At a certain time, I forget the actual date, but we'll have a giant World War II episode. Or World War One
episode, yeah.
Yeah, but until then, we'll see how long we can talk around the edges of World War One without actually diving into it.
Do we have, for our World War One episode, should we wear period costumes or something?
I don't think anyone can see us. I'm pretty sure that's how it works, but yeah, I'd be okay with that, dressing up like a doughboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, our sponsor this week for the 1917 podcast is Postum. How to tell whether coffee is causing your troubles. It seems easy to leave off drinking coffee and note the results, but you say, I can't get along without coffee, so the dreary days follow one another, the same old pains and aches slowly growing a little worse. Do you dare think of the road ahead if that downward tendency keeps on? Why shouldn't it, unless you change your daily habit? Suppose today you assert your right to crush habit and start a new and healthful life. It's easy to quit coffee and take on Postum, which is made of clean, whole wheat and contains no caffeine, the drug and coffee that causes so much trouble. Postum! It is not only free from the harmful coffee poison, but contains the natural phosphate of potash found in part of the wheat berry, which is included in making this famous food drink. It builds up broken down brain and nerve cells, and no one needs this more than the chronic coffee drinker. 10 days freedom will show there's a reason for Postum!
You know, advertising back then had no problem with, like, really extended copy, did they?
No, they didn't. This was a newspaper ad that was like 1 inch by 3. It was not a big ad.
Yeah, like, they really counted on people to read this ad thoroughly.
Right. But I have a surprise for you. I have Postum.
What?
We are going to be drinking Postum right now.
All right, well, what is this Postum?
I don't know, but we're going to be drinking it.
Is it actually from 1917 that you find like a...
No, but they are making it now in 2017 using a very strict recipe that was derived from 1917.
And this is like, so what is it? It's like an energy drink of some kind?
I don't know, but you're going to drink it.
Now, you know,
I'm not drinking this stuff.
All right, well, you know, a couple years ago, I had intestinal surgery.
Uh-huh.
This isn't going to, like, completely destroy my intestine, is it?
Oh, shoot. We were going to do 2 podcasts, but if you keel over and stroke out now, we're not going to get that second podcast logged in tonight. So hopefully not.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Despite the fact that I'm operating on, you know, 80% large intestine, I'm willing to take on this Postum challenge. Are you cooking it? I just heard your oven go on.
No, it's a hot drink. It's a coffee substitute.
So we have to, like, sit here and vamp while it's being heated up?
I'll cut this down. So, walking back over to the mic. Here is what our Postum looks like. It looks remarkably like Metamucil.
It does. It also looks like if I didn't know better, I look quick, I would think it said possum.
That could be one of the ingredients. Do you want to take a whiff?
Yeah, it smells a lot like coffee.
Actually. Yeah, but not... It smells somewhat like coffee. There's a like a graininess, there's a grittiness to the smell.
Yeah, you're right. It does look like more like something for your like a fiber.
Yeah,
kind of drink there. And where'd you buy this?
Yeah, I found it online, and it is really expensive.
Really?
Yes. You were holding an 8-ounce plastic tub of it, and it cost like $15.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna have it one cup of it. I don't know what you plan on doing with the rest of it.
No, I don't. I feel like it's literally too rich for my blood. I'm not going to be able to drink it thinking like...
It has to be for like a special occasion.
Yeah, like this cup is $1.25. I can't drink this right now. I don't deserve a $1.25 cup of coffee at home.
Will you pack this in your daughter's lunch maybe?
A Postum sandwich?
Yeah, you don't want to be the weird Postum kids.
It was advertised for kids. As a way that kids could drink coffee without getting all hopped up.
I'm sure it's powder.
Oh, he's taking a pinch. Okay. Trying a pinch.
There's a sweetness to it.
Yeah, yeah, I guess they put a lot of sugar in.
Oh. Huh.
Do you want to read the ingredient list?
I don't know if I can.
We can do the thing that we do because we're not old at all, which is that we take off our glasses to read fine print. That's something very young people like us.
That's
young
exactly people do. What I'm doing. it doesn't have ingredients list. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Yes. Wheat bran.
Okay.
Wheat flour and molasses. That's the sweetness of the molasses.
Molasses?
Yep.
So, should we also have a cup of regular coffee as a compare and contrast, or do you know what coffee tastes like?
I know, I've had enough coffee. I know what it tastes like.
Okay.
Why are you not having this still?
I'll have some.
Like, I think you should have some, like, get a like, community post them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll each post them it up.
Is that the, wait, hold on, is that the right amount that's supposed to clean?
Yes.
Too deep?
Ooh. Ooh, it's gritty. It's gritty.
Yeah, this is like...
Okay, I scoop Vinny's.
This kind of the feel like that stuff, like it's like the Murder Science Experiment. It could be like a liquid and a solid.
Yes, it's a colloidal substance.
All right, let's see. If I wind up wearing a colostomy bag, I'm going to be none too pleased.
So I'm putting 2 scoops in for an 8-ounce cup. 2 scoops seems like a lot.
Kind of bubbling over the airwaves there, huh?
Stirring it a little bit. And it has a little bit of a head.
For those of you at home, if you have some post from Iron House, why don't you pour yourself a cup and we'll all do this together. Actually, right, hold on. Go get your post them. Heat it up. Ready?
Okay,
folks.
Now we're going to sit this in...
Cheers.
We'll do a dual spit take in each other's faces.
Let me try another sip here before I really weigh in on it.
It's like if a waffle were a drink.
Yeah, it doesn't. You can't say it tastes bad.
No,
but it also isn't something that you really want to have a lot of. It tastes very artificial.
Yeah,
which is weird because all those ingredients seem very natural.
Yeah, I'm thinking like if you took like instant coffee and then you added some sugar like maybe 1 packet of sugar, but it'd be artificial sugar.
It's like somehow it's a very natural thing that tastes like you're like drinking a chemical.
Oh, you know what we need? We need those like flavor chemists, the people who can sip like 45 different shades of the same liquid and tell you what they're tasting.
The super tasters.
Yeah, the super tasters. Yeah, they also like sommeliers.
Yeah, there's a chalkiness to it also. So why did Postum not catch on?
Yeah, Postum did catch on for a little bit, but there were a lot of food shortages. There's coffee shortages. They started to get very expensive. Mm-hmm. I read a whole book about coffee that got into really granular detail. Like, I wanted to know about, like, the Robusta beans versus the Arabica beans. But they were talking about, like, the different people who worked at the ad agencies for that hosted the Chock Full of Nuts account.
By the way, there's no fucking way you finish this book. You say you read a book about coffee. I know what happened. You got a book about coffee. You thought it would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Say it was, a 300-page book.
Okay.
You read 40 pages of it. Tops.
There is a point where I'm not reading because I enjoy the book. I'm reading because I've gotten too far in and I can't cut bait. It's like, that's just a waste of the first 40 minutes I spent reading this. I'm not enjoying it anymore, but damn it, I'll finish it.
See, I have no problem just being like, screw this book. I'm done with you. So what do you think of your posting?
I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it, but that in itself is probably not a ringing endorsement of posting.
It's definitely more succinct than the ad that they had here. Postum. You might finish it.
Maybe it's better if it cools down. They do recommend iced Postum. I have a whole separate ad just for iced Postum.
This seems like the kind of ad where there's definitely a doctor, like a drawing of a doctor on the ad. Like, you know, like, well, like, and he'd be like, the doctor has, like, he'd have the, like the reflector on his head.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, happily endorsing Postum.
And he's got like holding a cigarette. No, holding a pipe.
I'm trying to think of what drink today will be something that like people will like laugh at. the fact that we were even drinking this stuff.
We're drinking coconut water.
That could be one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about any, like, the energy drinks?
Yeah, they're... Like, coffee, we accept, has caffeine. We know what that particular stimulant is. But the energy drinks have, like, taurine or guana cider. Yeah, I don't know all of
them. Like, I'm picturing the 2117 podcast someday. Which I don't know if they would still call them podcasts. I have no idea. Or if the, you know, or if they're still on Earth.
Yeah, it'd just be like a like a gel that you massage into your brain.
Like, will they be, like, reading some, like, copy about, like, Four Loko or something? And just laughing at us.
My brother did Stacker 2 one time, and he thought it would be like, oh, I'll get some extra energy, but he just went insane. Like, he ran for an hour and a half and just started to do push-ups, and his roommate came home and said, what are you doing? And I've been doing push-ups for half an hour. Stacker, never do Stacker 2.
Did they actually ban it? Because
they did.
I remember being, like, big for a little while, and, you know, it's kind of thing that, like, you know, an advertising, like a company maybe not be legit if most of their advertising is done on, like, I don't know, like drive time radio.
Yeah.
Like drive time shock jocks are the mean ones, like, you know, endorsing this, you know, like Opie and Anthony for for Stacker 2 or whatever. And, no, a friend of mine took Stacker 2 and he said that it made you shit orange because you're shitting fat out, basically.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so you had, like, you know, looked like movie popcorn, basically, coming out of your coming out of your ass there.
There's a list of chemicals that are banned by the FDA, but we can always invent new chemicals. And it takes a couple of years for them to realize, oh, you came up with a new chemical that does what all these other banned chemicals do. So I am probably going to stay away from Stacker 2.
I don't really have a choice. No. It's not available now.
No, but I may also be staying away from Postum. I don't know if I'm going to finish this.
I'm going to plan on finishing. I'm committing to this. It feels good on my throat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Soothing.
Get my nice golden pipes here.
So we're on to the Nickelodeon segment, where we talk about a different movie from or about 1917. Today's movie is a Stone Cold classic.
Starring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And unfortunately, in my case, I'm using the word classic as something that I have not seen. It is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, 1962 this is rare. Film.
I have seen this one.
Okay, excellent.
Now, this one takes place in 1917?
Well,
that I didn't know.
There's a flashback to Baby Jane when she's actually like the vaudeville star, and that's in 1917.
Oh, all right, yeah. Because I was about to say, like there's a lot I wasn't getting in this movie then.
No, so walk us through. Tell us what Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is about.
Okay. See if I remember this. This is something I've watched.
The two sisters are
20
named,
years ago. Yeah.
Are named Jane and Blanche, if
yes.
that helps.
And Jane was Betty Davis.
Yep.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so she was like a child star.
Yeah.
And her sister is Joan Crawford?
Yes, who's Blanche.
Yes, okay. And I believe Blanche is wheelchair bound?
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And Baby Jane, like, beats the shit out of her or something.
Yeah, they start playing head games. They start, like, shaving her head and putting worms in her food, and because she's in a wheelchair, she can't get out of the house.
And why does she do this, though? That's what I'm trying to remember.
It's because the two siblings hate each other.
I'm remembering the setup and I'm remembering the conclusion.
Yeah.
I can't remember this hour in between. You should tell me what movie we're doing ahead of time, so I can maybe do some research, by the way. At least refresh myself.
I was all set to tell you about this movie. I educated myself, but then you said you had seen it. It's like, okay, great. I'm going to take the week off.
I remember she's running around the house looking like dressed up in her like very horrifying looking.
Right.
Like, you know, like anytime an adult dresses like a child, it's
yes,
kind of horrific. Like
she
like,
basically had the Courtney Love look going on.
Yeah, like when
decades before,
like
Courtney
when Joe
Love.
Besser played Stinky on Abbott and Costello. I know you know it well, right? Like Joe Besser, he was like, you know, like a fat, bald, middle-aged guy, and he played a child on Abbott and Costello in a Little Lord Fauntleroy outfit, Stinky.
You have a Joe Besser biography.
I do, actually. It was given to me, though. I didn't go out and buy it myself.
I gave it to you.
You gave it to me. Who else would have given it to me? Good point. I don't think I read this Joe Besser biography.
You did. You quoted it to me.
I did. Yeah, you're right. All right. I may have skimmed it more, though. I skimmed it like you did that coffee book.
I unfortunately read that coffee book. I'm still looking for a good coffee book. You would think there would be one because coffee is so popular. But either they are like, here's pictures of coffee, and you can't actually read it because it's a coffee table book, or it's incredibly granular, or it's just a corporate salute to someone who makes coffee.
Some Sanka.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a Postum book.
No. We'll go back to this movie here.
Okay. So, some facts about the movie. It was directed by Robert Aldrich. Robert Aldrich does a lot of tough guy movies. He did The Dirty Dozen, he did Flight of the Phoenix, the original one, and he did The Longest Yard, the original one.
Okay.
All great movies.
Yeah.
Courtney Love kind of stole a lot of her look from Baby Jane, not just wearing baby doll dresses as an adult, but Betty Davis purposely decided that she was going to make herself look as hideous as possible, so she would put on very garish makeup to look like mm-hmm. what she thought this character would think was attractive. Then she'd sleep in it, and the next day just put more makeup on top of the other makeup. That's how you get that awful look that Betty Davis has in this. Baby Jane Hudson is number 44 on a list of all-time best movie villains.
Really? I feel like she might go higher, though, I think. I think that you go higher on that.
There's so many slashers and Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter.
She's very different as a villain, you know?
Right, right. This was made in black and white, even though color was around. It was a purposeful choice. It was a very limited budget. So there was a scene where someone needs to drive, and they didn't even have the money to do rear projection. So it's like, okay, screw it. Just get one person in a flatbed truck, and we'll just film the actual actress driving down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to close the street or anything. We'll just do it in one take. There's a huge amount of rumors about how the two actresses hated each other.
Yeah, they didn't get along, actually, right?
Right.
I remember where I actually saw this, I think, in a college class.
Oh, okay.
And I think maybe that's why I don't remember.
Because you don't remember college.
There's certain gaps of time in there, yeah.
Yeah. So, Betty Davis had a Coke machine put on set, which does not seem to be an offensive thing, but Joan
Crawford.
Yeah, Joan Crawford was married to the CEO of Pepsi at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, you know, knowing what we know, because you've seen Mommy Dearest,
uh-huh.
right, about Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
Like do you watch Baby Jane now and go like, yeah, that's right, like, fuck her up, Baby Jane. Like we know how abusive she is in real life, like, so it's kind of fun to see her get smacked around by...
Did you know that there is a TV show airing right now about this movie?
Right, let's go watch it.
Yeah. It's called Duel, and it's... Oh, sorry. It's called Feud. Not Duel. Feud. Duel is Betty Davis in a truck driving down... this first Steven Spielberg movie. Now, Feud has Susan Sarandon playing Betty Davis and Jessica Lange as Joan Crawford.
And it's on right now as we speak, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's airing right now. It's probably one of those things where it's like a mini-series because I can't imagine they're going to be doing a season two because I think they only made one movie together.
Yeah.
But they never liked each other. If you watch the movie nowadays, do you see the movie Big Eyes?
Yeah.
Joan Crawford was a big fan of Margaret Keane. And she bought a bunch of the Big Eye paintings, and some of them are in this movie, if you look. So, I do want to see this movie.
What's funny is I think the Big Eye paintings have a like, you know, the Betty Davis look, right?
Yeah, they do. The
Betty Davis Eyes, famous song.
Yes, remake of Marty Feldman Eyes.
By Bruce Baby Man Bob.
It was a race which one of us is going to make that reference.
I was really leading you there. I was hoping you'd go. Should we play that? We should play that, like, next week's show.
Next week's show will open with...
We're going to open with, with Marty Feldman Eyes by Bruce Babyman Bomb.
Maybe we can fade out the show with that.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last fact. This was remade in 1991 with Lynn and Vanessa
Redgrave. That's right. I remember seeing that one, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen either of these. Mm-hmm. You are on the ball. I know there was a book based on this also, and it started a subgenre of horror called hag horror. I didn't know that such a thing existed.
Me neither.
I don't know what other movies count as hag horror,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it's about, like, scary old ladies. Maybe a lot of the Disney 70s films.
Well, I was going to say, you're calling it a subgenre, but I can't name any of these at all.
Well, thinking about the Disney movies, like, most of the Disney villains from, like, you know, when we were young were, like, women in late middle age. And that was, like, the scariest thing you could see.
Mm-hmm. Like a menopausal woman.
Yeah. Watch out! She's 58!
Then the Golden Girls came along and changed all that.
Now and forever, the Golden Girls have saved society.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on to birthdays. Having a birthday this week is Zsa Zsa Gabor.
She was this close to actually having her real birthday.
Yeah, she was so close. She was like 99 when she died. She only died a couple of weeks ago. And there's a small group of celebrities who have made it into like the 100 club. She was almost there, but she didn't make it. You know who is there, of course? Spartacus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kirk Douglas.
And Olivia de Havilland is there. I think she's 102 or 104 from Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
And she was one of the people that they thought about making Whatever Happened to Baby Jane with.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was considered over the hill back then in the 60s.
She's an old woman, man. Yeah. 60 years ago.
She's been playing an old woman for a long time. So, Zsa Zsa Gabor is the sister of Ava Gabor. Ava mm-hmm. Gabor, a famous actress. Zsa Zsa Gabor, just for most of us, just known as a punchline for a long time.
I remember her just being somebody that like would get made fun of by like Letterman.
Right. Now, it is very fun to say the phrase Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Mm-hmm. Because she has a better name than Ava Gabor.
Right. Right. But one thing that Ava Gabor and Zsa Zsa Gabor have in common is they both are commonly featured in crossword puzzles because they have unusual names.
Mm-hmm.
So my quiz for you this week is other people who are crossword famous.
Xavier Cugat.
He is not on this list, unfortunately.
He could be, though.
He could be, yes. Shout out to Matt Gaffney of Slate Magazine who put together this list of crossword famous people. Okay. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. The creator of Perry Mason. This was number one on the famous people list.
Oh, I mean, I know,
you don't know who
Perry Mason, I don't know who created it.
Yeah. The creator was Earl Stanley Gardner. Mm-hmm. And he's there because his name is not E-A-R-L, as you would think, but he's E-R-L-E. The only way you can get anyone to spell E-R-L-E, he's the only person in the world who has that spelling, apparently. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Singer of At Last and Roll With Me Henry, 1950 singer.
Etta James.
Very good. Peer Gynt's mom. I'm putting this one on there just because I hate this clue.
What?
Whenever I do a crossword, I feel like this Peer Gynt's mom shows up.
This pops up a lot?
Yeah.
What's Peer Gynt mean?
Peer Gynt was a play by Henrik Ibsen. It was based on a Norwegian folk tale. And Peer Gynt's mom is named Ace. A-S-E.
No, there's nobody who would know this doing a crossword, though.
But sometimes when you put in the letters, you need an A-S-E, and that's the only way you can clue it.
Mm-hmm.
It's either that or you say, like, something at the end of a word.
Are you a crossword puzzle guy?
I used to be more of one.
Mm-hmm.
I watch my wife do crossword puzzles, and I sometimes ask her if she needs any help. And every once in a while, I actually can provide the help.
People who are really into crossword puzzles, is it like, I'm not going to go on Google. I'm not going to look this up. Is that, mm-hmm. like, cheating to them?
Yeah. Yeah. And with the New York Times crossword, with the app at least, they give you your time. And if you do it within the day, that counts as completion towards a streak.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can keep going with a streak, you look great on that calendar in the app. And you get a run of yellows. But it's blue if you didn't solve it within the day. Oh. So you want to see how long you can keep the yellow going.
And when you're, is it like competitive? Do they have the best?
If you join a crossword like league, then you know what the times would need to be. Like the Monday needs to be within 11 minutes. The Tuesday needs to be within 15 minutes. So you have a ballpark for where you want to be if you're going for speed.
And they do prizes and stuff?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. The prizes are probably more crossword puzzle books. Okay, back to the quiz. Some of these are going to get easier. John Lennon's widow.
Yoko.
Yoko Ono, yeah. Either Yoko or Ono, because they both got a lot of good vowels in there. A spoon-bending mentalist.
Kreskin?
Nope.
No.
Yuri Geller.
See, I only know Kreskin.
Oh.
And that, he could work for a crossword.
Kreskin is like two Ks in that name. You know
Kreskin's still around.
Yeah. Yuri Geller's still around, too.
No, Kreskin, all right, Kreskin's, not only is he around,
he's doing so bad. He's playing like some of the same clubs I play.
Be nice to the people on the way down. You'll meet them on the way
up. That's right.
Okay, a Peruvian singer. There's no way you know this. No way.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm lording it over you. Ima Sumac. Mm-hmm. It's Amy spelled backwards. Y-M-A. Okay, let's move on to sports a little bit. Hall of Famer for the Baltimore Orioles.
Boog Powell.
Mel Ott. O-T-T.
Boog is a good one. The double O. Come on.
Hall of Famer for the Boston Bruins.
Kim Neely.
Bobby Orr. O-R-R.
Why is he a better clue?
Because it's only three letters long.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. If you ever see any sort of crossword with the word hockey, it's going to be Bobby Orr. And okay. They just want O-R-R. Puerto Rican actor who voiced Dora's Poppy. Isai Morales.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's in a whole lot of stuff. He's in so much stuff I couldn't pick. Well, I did pick one. I picked Dora's dad, but I could have picked someone from Battlestar Galactica. I could have picked like five or six TV shows he's in. He always works.
I think Boog Powell, by the way, should be a crossword puzzle clue more Boog often. Powell? It's because it's double O.
Okay.
Well, it's B-O-O-G. I mean, yeah. That's a good clue.
Okay. I'm typing it in. Boog Powell is now on this list.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Hall of Famer whose name sounds like a snot.
I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame, actually. I think...
While you're looking that up, think about if you know any Art Deco sculptors with a single name.
I don't.
Erte.
Okay.
I only know Erte because I worked...
Sounds very pig-like.
Yeah, they had a lot of Erte sculptures up on the walls. Or you like pictures of Erte sculptures. And that made me think that Erte was just a common name, the same way that you see people who have, water lilies up everywhere. Okay, last one for you. The actress who played Mrs. Garrett from The Facts of Life.
Oh, what is her name? I just called her Mrs. Garrett.
First name, Charlotte?
Charlotte Ray.
Charlotte Ray, yes. Ray spelled R-A-E. That concludes this week of 100 Years Ago Today. Join us next week when we will be talking about Mata Hari. Now, as promised, you get to hear... What are we going to play?
Marty Feldman Eyes.
Marty Feldman Eyes.
Her head is growing bald. Her feet are twice her size. She says it's not her fault. She's got Marty Feldman eyes. She'll turn the sprinklers on you and dry you off with her thighs.